everybody, and welcome to the Kingdom Builders Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We are trying out some new formats, some new topics, some hopefully bring you better content and more consistent content for our patrons that are with us. Which, speaking of, we have two of them on with us today, Liesl and Trisha. If you guys would like to, you're welcome to say hi.
Hello.
Hello, welcome.
I'm in London, UK.
Woo-hoo. Welcome, Liesl.
Welcome.
And welcome, Trisha, from Kansas as well.
Yeah, hey there. Good to see everybody again.
Yes.
Good to see you guys too. Well, to introduce today's topic, we are going to let Jason start, as this was his idea. So, Jason, take it away.
It was my kind of idea. So I think a lot about, if you guys know me, I think a lot about Scripture and the use of Scripture, the purpose of Scripture, the importance of Scripture. But as I read Scripture, I look at, it leads me to see the necessity and the importance of Holy Spirit in our lives and our relationship with the Father. And, you know, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth. And as I've looked back over and thought through, meditated on the entire narrative of the Bible, I keep seeing supernatural and I keep seeing revelation. Like all through the Old Testament, you get this story of God revealing himself to his creation. And so each person experiences God in a different way. And there was no precedent for that. There was no scripture to dictate how our forefathers in the faith would experience the Father. But somewhere along the line, we have now come up with some sort of precedence of what it needs to look like to experience the Father. And I'm like, but there was a time where there wasn't. And you have a select few characters in the scriptures that have gotten this revelation, but then all of a sudden we've closed the book and say there's no more mystery to God. And I think I wrote this down: in our quest for knowledge, we've forgotten about mystery. And so I want to talk about that, just this idea of, you know, how have we essentially forgotten about mystery and revelation, and how have we come to seek knowledge, which typically we're seeking the knowledge of men. We're looking to men to say, teach me about who God is. And I had a thought one day, and this is arguable or, you know, a way to open conversation, but I thought to myself, like, you know, God is who he said, God is who he reveals himself to you as, and he can be found where he shows you himself. And it's just like this very basic principle, but I'm like, who is he other than who he's shown us that he is? And we can hear testimony about who he is, but if we've not experienced him in that manner, it's like, has he truly been that to us? And so I have two scriptures, and then you can take all of that, whatever I just talked about, and say whatever you want in response. But two scriptures, Proverbs 25:2 says, it is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. And so the Lord conceals matters, but it's the glory of kings to search them out. And scripture says in Revelation that we are priests unto God and we are kings. And so it is our glory as kings to seek out the concealed matters, the mysteries of God. And then one more scripture, Daniel 2:28. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the visions in your mind while on your bed. So you've got Daniel who's getting dreams and visions, and it's the Father who's revealing these mysteries to him. It wasn't any kind of knowledge that Daniel could have went and studied or anybody that on earth that he could have talked to gain this knowledge that we seek. It came in the form of mystery and revelation from the Father. And so that is just what I've been thinking about a little bit. And I love doing these podcasts because we get to talk more about it. So what's kind of jumping up in your hearts and minds? What's the Father showing you as I'm talking about this stuff?
I want to go. I always talk first. I'm terrible at this. And I always am like, come on, someone else. But I'm leaping out of my chest about this. It's like, I just have to say, as you were reading the scriptures in particular, I thought of, wow, that is such an awesome honor. And wow, isn't it cool that it's God's glory to hide things. And then I started thinking about, you know, the part where you said it's the king's glory to search it out. I started thinking about my own life and how I feel like somehow, I'm sure it's part of the enemy's plan, but I think it's happened through the church by accident, hopefully by accident, where the church has made it a thing that anything outside of our canon, our canonized Bible, anything outside of that is shameful. If you feel like you have revelation outside of that, then it's a shame instead of a glory. And so I have really felt when I have revelation that is outside of anything that's in scripture. And when I say that, I don't mean contradictory to scripture, just outside of it. When it's anything that's outside of that, I feel like I have to hide it because of shame instead of glory. Definitely don't feel glory on it when I search something out and I have a new revelation of God. I also think that it's because everyone has, and when I say everyone, I am guilty of this in the past myself, okay, but everyone has boxed in Yahweh into the canon. And if it's, and not even that, like, I think there's a lot of stuff in scripture that is still denied about who Yahweh is. There are things in scripture that the church still can't even accept. But the church in general, I think, and there are lots of people in the church who aren't like this, but just in general, the church has been kind of stifling in this way in boxing in the Father and saying searching for him outside of that is wrong. And so I guess when you read those scriptures, it made me go, wow, this really is something that it is glory for us to search it out and to search him out and the mysteries of God that he has hidden. So if he has hidden them and they're mysteries for us, they are nowhere written yet. And so we have to be excited about that instead of shameful about that. And anyway, that's just what I was thinking about as you were reading the scriptures, and I was comparing it to my own life and how I have kind of made it shameful. I've done that, not the church. It's me that has felt shamed about it instead of opening glory about it, I guess.
I have to say something interesting about what you were just saying, searching the scriptures and how it has been in the church. It has been this thing that we've kind of been limited to, like, this is what we're told we can go to. This is all, it's the canon, right? What I find interesting is that as I go and I read some of the extra biblical texts, so like the book of Enoch or something like that, it is actually as though I'm seeking out the mysteries. And then these writings are serving this purpose to speak and to expound on who the Father is and the different facets of him. And it's leading me more to him as opposed to leading toward relying on some text that was written. And I think even so, as much as it's easy to blame Constantine and the Council of Nicaea and everyone who like made this the canon, there are times I can also be grateful that I can go back and find these other scripts and it doesn't have the stigma on it that this is the end all be all. It just opens up more things. So I just want to put that out there too. Like, I don't think there's some fear with a lot of people trying to go to different texts and stuff. But honestly, if we look at it as though it is the testimony of people who have encountered him and something that is just revealing more of who he is, there's really nothing but life in that, you know?
That's a really good point. I know that there, I think what you were saying about that stigma, it's just so important that we look at all of these things as testimony, and that we look at even Paul's letters, you know, things like that, as this is his experience with the Lord, right? And his experience talking to these churches who encountered the Lord, and to really not just look at it as this is all it can be, but this is what it could be. And all of this with anything. I mean, we can go buy a book on Amazon. Well, I don't know if everybody in France and in England, I don't know if you guys could do that or not, but you know, if I buy a book on Amazon, I can read somebody's testimony and then it open up something for me. And I may not experience the Lord exactly like that testimony, but it may open up something that I'll experience him in a different way. And that's what scripture should be, but that's what all of any text should be. And mm-hmm. I might read something and go, yeah, I'm not ready for that one yet, you know, and that should be okay if I say that too. You know, I'm like, I don't know if that's a good encounter. You know, it's okay to say that stuff with anything and to recognize that we are in our own journey. Okay. Each of us is in our own journey. Each of us is a king. Each of us can search out the mysteries. And it doesn't have to be only these really amazing, you know, preachers that have thousands of people following them that can search out the mysteries, that it can be us. And we can go and search out the mysteries and have an amazing encounter with the Father that is beyond what anyone has ever experienced ever. I mean, it's exciting to know that we can all do that.
Yeah. So one of the things that I really wanted to bring up too is, again, that idea of mystery. Like, you get, and I'll try and say this without as much bitterness as I've held towards these stances in the past, but you get people who present themselves as though they have it all figured out. And so if you simply have the concordance and maybe the Greek and the Hebrew next to you, and you have the proper tools for exegesis, and you've studied and you have accountability, and somebody has taught you how to properly divide, to rightly divide the word of God is the phrase that they'll use, that they can look at any text, use this set of tools, and then come to absolute truth. And because they've gone through that process, that they have absolute truth. And so in my mind, if you can do that with every passage, every, is it jot and tittle or right? Dot, every dot and tittle of the written word, then like you've got God all figured out. There he is right there in the book. Like, congratulations, you did it. That's not the God I serve. Like, what about the mystery? You know, like how much mystery is there? I've taught this in the past, but you know, the universe is ever expanding. It is always growing. And I think about that moment of ex nihilo where the Father opened his mouth and said, let there be. And then, you know, the scripture says that he breathed the galaxies, like, and then all of a sudden the galaxies, the universe came from within his being, and it is ever expanding. So you're telling me that the God who took a breath, exhaled galaxies into creation, and they are continuing to expand. Like, you've got all that wrapped up into this experience of, you know, however many billions of people on the earth for however many thousands of years. Like, you got to be kidding me. If you've not explored the outer reaches of the galaxies, then you don't have God in a box. But to me, it just seems like people like to say, oh, I've got it all figured out. No, you don't. You know, you really don't. And if you look at the way that John had much of heaven revealed to him in the scriptures, you could draw a map and you can write out every detail that John gave about his heavenly experience. And you could go to Isaiah and you can write out his heavenly experience. You could, you know, everything that anybody's ever seen about heaven, you could write that all down. And you think that is the totality of heaven? Are you kidding me? Like, there's just a couple of rooms up there and then that's it. There's no outdoors. Like, you know, there's in my father's house are many rooms. Okay. What are the rooms? What do they look like? How many are there? Oh, well, I don't know. Well, then you don't have it figured out. Quit trying to act like you haven't figured out. I get excited about this because of the idea of possibility, the idea of depth, and the idea of mystery. It's like, who wants to serve a God that we can fully comprehend? There's so much to him. And I'm of the belief that, you know, as we continue to have heaven meet earth and kingdom is ushered in, and we, whatever transition happens, whenever we are ruling and reigning together in this, you know, whatever way you want to call it, like, we will for eternity continue to explore the depths of the mystery and the character of who the Father is. And so I'd rather err on the side of mystery than on the side of I've got it all figured out.
I think one of the things, as you're saying, I feel like I really need to say this. I think seeking out the mystery, if you're doing this just to gain knowledge and to write the things down and make God finite, you're going to end up dissatisfied. I don't think the point of being a king who can seek out the mysteries is so that you can just know things. I don't think that we're supposed to be sourcing from that tree. It is still the tree of knowledge. So if you're seeking mysteries for the sake of knowledge, you're doing it wrong. You know, when you're seeking out mysteries and you're seeking out to know the Father deeper, that brings life. And when it brings life, it urges you and it spurs you on to seek more. And it urges you and it spurs you on to mature and to gain more authority and to gain more responsibility and be more intimate with him. But when you seek it out for the sake of knowledge, it ends there. And I don't believe in any way that he keeps himself a mystery just to get people to learn about him. Truly. Everyone's muted. They're laughing. I'll just say this on the podcast because all you hear is audio. I see pictures of people laughing and no audio.
That's funny. I want to know what Lisa is thinking over there. She's been silent this whole time.
I don't know if I have all my thoughts together. I was just, as you all were talking, and I was thinking about, you know, you're talking about the canon and all that's in there, and just wondering what everybody's thoughts are on how important is it to know everything in there before you seek other mysteries of God. I'm just thinking of conversations I've had with other people, and you know, do you think there's a progression you should follow? Should you know what's in there in the Bible before you seek other things?
I could speak on that. My personal opinion, it may not be popular, but I think of one of the greats in the Torah who everyone looks to is Moses. And Moses had no scripture. There was nothing to go on. And he had one of the most powerful encounters with Yahweh. We always look to him for all of this, and he's the one without any scripture to guide him. And so to me, that's the greatest example, is that if we want to have the most powerful experience with the mysteries of God, it comes out of experience, not out of learning the Bible, not out of learning scripture. And so to me, first, that ever was experience with God. And so I guess I would say that. I probably never would have said that in the past, but I mean, that's clear to me now. And I also think, you know, I was thinking about what Kim was saying about searching out the mysteries and stuff. And there's something that came to me that I think for those people who I have admired the most about seeking out the mysteries, it has not been seeking out anything about their own lives. You know, like a lot of people want to know God because they want to know the mysteries of their own life. Like, what is my purpose? What am I supposed to do in 10 years? You know, who am I supposed to marry? All of the things like that about their own lives. But the greatest experiences are seeking out Yahweh for who he is and what he's about, not anything about what we're about. And so I guess I would say the most important way to focus, if you want to search out the mysteries as a king, is to not be searching out the mysteries in a selfish way, but in a way that is simply after relationship.
Mm. Well, and you know, the reason I was asking that too is because I, as Jason was even reading those scriptures, I didn't even recognize that guilt for not knowing those scriptures well rose up in me, like, I don't even know. I couldn't quote those. That's not, you know, that's the old religion rising up in me that I didn't even realize was still there, because I feel so liberated from that. Because, you know, I used to read my Bible daily out of obligation, and I didn't want to feel guilty, and I don't do that anymore. I still use the scriptures, and Father leads me to them, but I just hadn't recognized that guilt in a long time. So I wonder if it's been just laying under the surface, waiting, you know, just attacking me just enough to stay there and me not recognize it. So.
Yeah. I'll just kind of back to what Christine was talking about. She mentioned something about the experience came before the scriptures. And that's a phrase that I've used often, is that experience preceded scripture. They had to experience Father to then write it down. And I love when I hear stories about missionaries who go overseas, and there's some remote village somewhere that barely anybody has ever come into contact with, people, whatever it is, you know, the lost tribes and nations. And so a missionary will show up and meet a villager, and as they learn how to communicate with them in whatever form they do, they find out, like, the villager will say, hey, actually had a dream about you, and there was a man in a white robe who came to me and said that I'm going to send this white person to this riverbank at this time, and then I was actually waiting for you. And then in conversation, they'll find out that, you know, it was Jesus who revealed himself to the villager and told him to go wait on the missionary. It's like that, oh, the person you're describing is the person who I spoke to. And so I've heard stories like this before, that you get people that experience Jesus manifest before they ever hear a single scripture. And so I think about stuff like that, and I'm just like, it, you know, it leads me back to possibility. What's possible, man? God can do whatever he wants with whoever he wants. And he's going to reveal himself how he wants, whether or not you've read a portion of the scripture or not. If you're in relationship with him, you know, as I'm in relationship with Kim, she's learning things about me as we progress in relationship. You know, and it's not like I've waited for her to go and, you know, read my history. I don't, you know what I'm saying? Maybe that's a poor experience, but I would say, yeah, you use scripture, you learn from it. It's a guide, but more than that, it's an arrow to me. I read something and then I shut the book and then I go to Father and I'm like, for real, that's, you know, that's possible. Let's go. Let's see it. Let's make it happen.
I think that's right. I think another thing that is important to remember, and I hope this comes as encouragement to you, Lisa, just because when you were talking about that, I really was kind of overwhelmed with this a bit. And it just is that anything having to do with seeking out the Lord should not be bringing condemnation. So when that creeps up, you have to know that's not from him. But also, one of the things that, whether you know it verbatim or not, one of the things the scripture is so good at and so good for, because it's so much testimony as to who the Lord is that you can go and you can read stuff that you don't remember ever having read before, even if you've read through the Bible 20 times. It doesn't matter, right? But you go and you read these things, and a lot of times it comes to bring encouragement. It affirms the things you've been experiencing. You know what I mean? I read this. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, to search out a matter is the glory of kings. That is encouraging to me, you know, because when I go and I search out the things that are concealed, those mysteries, the things that I don't know about the Father, it's to my glory, but it's because I'm seeking out His glory. You know what I mean? And I just want to give that little bit of encouragement and just say, this should be used for encouraging. And if there's condemnation, just knock that crap out, because it's not from Him.
So I know I've said this before on this podcast, but it's a quote that I heard years and years ago, but it constantly sticks with me, is all of the Bible is in God, but not all of God is in the Bible. And I just think it's such a powerful statement to really process. And I think often we try to limit God, to put Him inside the Bible. And parts of it, I think part of the reason we do that is because almost every time we read it, or every year we read it, we get new revelation and deeper revelation. And so we keep seeing things that we never saw were hidden in there before. We keep seeing mysteries that we never saw before. And so we're like, oh, maybe everything is in here. And but I think that just goes to show how vast He really is that for thousands of years, we've been unpacking this book, and we've still not unpacked all of it. We've still not found all the things that were hidden in it. We've still not found all the mysteries. And I think, I mean, that just makes me excited that, hey, there's still something in here. There's still something we can relate to, but there's a bigger God outside of it that gave the experiences to the people to write down in the first place. And all of our conversation today has made me wonder, when as a society did we stop seeking the mystery? When did we stop looking for maybe just the spiritual aspects of it? Because I think back to the people in the Bible times, or I mean, even more, way more recently than that. And they, almost every culture had a spiritual or a mysterious aspect to their belief systems. They understood that there was an unseen realm that they didn't know how to explain. But it seems like in our culture, and maybe we can point this back to like the scientific revolution or the industrial revolution, to where things became way more material for us. And we wanted to explain every single thing with math and science. And I do believe that God created math and science. So it's not that you can't use those things in your search of His mysteries. But when you try to limit everything, you remove the ability for Him to operate outside of those things. So you limit Him by focusing on one aspect. If you only focus on the biblical aspect, or if you only focus on the scientific aspect or whatever, you're limiting just to those aspects of what you know about Him or what you can see about Him.
I want to ask a question. As you were talking, it really raised this question in my head. And I just thought, have we become a church that is made an idol of knowledge of God without actually knowing God? You know what I mean? I look around and I've talked to people, I've read people's commentaries, all these things, and it's about how much you know about Him. And, you know, even from personal experience, if I can just get real for a moment, I mean, we have been pushed out. We have been shunned. We have been put down for putting experience over knowledge. And so I guess my question is, has that become an idol? Is it possible to make an idol the knowledge of God, even though it's about him, without actually having him really in the picture? Does that make sense?
I would say so for sure. What does scripture say? Knowledge puffs up. And so there are people who will be filled with knowledge and then be prideful about it. There's arrogance that comes with it. There's pride that comes with it. There's status that comes with it. If you look at the Pharisees and the Sadducees, I mean, they, you know, Jesus talks about, don't call anybody teacher or rabbi or father on earth. And it's interesting when you look at teacher and rabbi, a rabbi is just a titled teacher. And so the rabbi has the credentials of a teacher who's been accredited. And so there are people who want the title of, you know, bachelor of whatever or doctorate of whatever and yada, yada, yada. And I think it is possible to reach a status of knowledge and, you know, miss relationship essentially. But what has been put before us? Who are the ones on stage? Who are the ones on camera? Who are the ones on our phones, on YouTube, right? Like the majority of these people who are venerated and elevated as super smart, super knowledgeable, great doctrine, great theology, great teacher are the ones who have the titles and have the platform. And so then what happens is we aspire essentially to be a person who's looked at as somebody who knows a lot about a subject. And so, you know, there are, if I look at the people on the screen, I would never say, you know, you guys really know a lot about God. I would say, no, you guys truly know the Father. And that's such a different statement. There are people who I've looked at before. I'm like, man, that guy knows a lot about the Bible. Doesn't mean he knows the Father. You know what I mean?
So true. Well, we need to start wrapping this up, but I'd like to hear from any of the patrons if you have anything to add. Liesl, Trisha, Irene. By the way, Irene from France hopped on before we could say hi to her, so hello. But Liesl, Trisha, Irene, you have something to add? I see Liesl, you might.
I just had the thought as well that the Father set it up so that anyone can understand it. That means a child can understand it. You don't need to even be able to read to understand and to get to know the Father and to have a relationship with him. And the Bible says that Jesus will teach you. He will personally teach you. And this whole model of somebody who knows more and stands in front and teaches from his perspective is actually only been in the last 2,000 years. It's not a model that was originally in the early church. So people have been encouraged to listen to the person in front, and he knows everything because he has all these credentials, and have been discouraged to go and find out for themselves. And I think that, you know, that's where it all went wrong. And to think that you can put Yahweh into a book is just preposterous.
You're right. That's so true.
Thank you for saying it.
That's my bit.
Awesome. Thanks, Liesl. Trisha, Irene, you have anything to add? Irene's shaking no. Okay. Hi, Irene. Trisha?
Hi. I'll just add a little bit. I mean, I'm sure we've all known people that had all this knowledge, but then if you really get to know them, you can tell they have no relationship. I mean, even in most of my past, I did my best to study and learn or whatever and memorize scripture or whatever. I wasn't a super studious, and I would feel bad because I couldn't study like my husband, or I couldn't study like someone else. But the more that I have delved into the relationship, I mean, I've also seen where I've had that relationship since I was very young. I just didn't understand it all, but It also doesn't mean that somebody that has a lot of knowledge doesn't have the relationship, but you do see those that all they have is knowledge. And I do definitely agree that it has become an idol for some. Well, actually, maybe a lot, just knowing the word, and it's just that knowledge has become an idol. So anyway.
Awesome. Thanks, Tricia. Jason, you have something to add?
Yeah, I've got one quick thing, and I want to leave a little bit of a hanger for the bonus content as well. But I just wanted to say, you know, if we want to know how to use scripture properly, and people will say, well, use scripture to interpret scripture. Okay. What does the Bible say that scripture is for? Scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God is equipped for every good work. It helps to teach us, train us, correct us, and train us to do good works. But it doesn't say that it's good for life, right? And so we find life in Christ. We find life from Rhema, from the spoken words of God. And so I'm not against scripture. I'm not against people using scripture. I obviously opened up with using two scriptures. But I just want to put scripture in its right place and keep the Father in his right place. And that's just the last thing I want to say about that. And then just this quick teaser, knowledge versus character versus fruit. I've been somebody who's known as someone who knows the scriptures, but there have been many places in my character where I've needed maturity. And so one can have the knowledge and not have the fruit. And that's a big deal as well. And so I think maybe we'll dive a little bit more into that in our patron-only content. Christine, do you want to let people know what that's about?
Sure. Well, we're going to start doing some extra content for patrons only. So if you're like, what the heck are you talking about? I'm listening to your podcast. Isn't this it? Go to King, it's our Patreon site, basically patreon.com/kingdombuilders. And there are so many great benefits to becoming a kingdom builder with us, and it's only going to get better. So we're going to be talking about diving more into what mysteries have been revealed to us. And so we're going to get into the rich, deep, good stuff. So if you want to listen to that, go become a patron. We have different tiers you can join, but you can even join for as little as $2 a month. Just go and get started, and you'll be able to have access to all of that content. There are also other benefits that we love the most, like one of my favorite things is, meeting with our kingdom builders and having rich relationship. That is the very best. And we love the ones who are on right now. We're looking at them with love in our hearts, but it's the best part to really have good, deep relationship in the spirit and not just, hi, how you doing? How are your kids? But it's really about diving into the spirit together and growing and getting the mystery. So anyway, that's all. We love you guys. Thanks for listening. Tune in next time.